Yes. It's that time. It's that time again. Distorted Reality Podcast. We're Distorted Nation Radio. Beats Reality Check TV. With your hosts, C-Core from Distorted Nation Radio and Shell Razor from Reality Check TV. With your Kevlar coated comments, it's time to distort your reality.
Nice. I love to start it with a big cough.
No, I did that on purpose.
Did you?
Yeah, it was literally, which we'll get into in a moment, but when at the Hell House, Hellraiser clothing shop, you were talking about how you did an interview before and you felt unprofessional because you had a cough.
Yes.
And we didn't have a cough mute button.
We didn't.
Or some crap.
Oh, and I'm like, do we have, is there such a thing?
A mute button? Yes. There's a way to do that. Yes,
I can mute you.
So what do I have to do? You have to look on the screen, Kev, and I have to be like doing this.
You know, it's like No. You got it. I mean, in the professional world, you have your own little cough button that'll mute your mic. Like,
In reality, people cough. So
yeah,
no,
that's
was
what I was
forming.
Trying to say.
This
like,
was forming so deep, and I didn't have water in the. I actually had water, but it was just bad.
What was you? Never mind. I'm not.
The cough was deep. Okay,
because
I had a little tickle, and I didn't want to let him know that I had a slight cold. Not like I was calling it allergy, because no one wants to be this close to you in a room with the, you know, the big C word, right? You know, and I didn't.
COVID.
Well, I tested actually negative the day before.
I got a quick question before we just get off into things. Do you feel like dirty when you're in public and all of a sudden you have to cough or sneeze? Are you going to like, do you like seriously think, does everyone look at you now that, oh, is he infected? Is she infected?
Not in every public place, but like if I'm at, the post office or if I'm at DMV recently with OG, you know, and you're sitting in there and there's still people.
Close quarters and there's a bunch of people.
There's people in a public building.
Am I a leper now?
I don't care if I'm at Target or something, you know what, or Walmart.
Well, Walmart, I mean, everyone's dirty in Walmart.
So, right.
I mean, that's just how it goes.
Just
you're shopping
places.
At Walmart.
And I do the whole, like, you know, cough inside your shirt or do this kind of elbow thing. But there's times where...
Oh, no, I'll just,
you know,
out in the atmosphere.
Do you really?
Dude, okay, before...
Remember when that was an assault?
Before COVID, I used to work in a retail store, one of my many jobs, and it was, like, one of my jobs between, like, real jobs. And there was this lady that came in. I'm not going to specify what type of lady she was, but she came in, and she would always wear a mask.
Okay.
This was, like, 15 years ago. She still wore, like, every time she went out in public, I'm guessing she wore a mask. And so literally when she came into the store, I literally cleared my throat and made myself cough so much while she was in the store walking around. I think twice she like ran, like she took off out of the store because I was coughing, making myself cough so bad.
Were you, but you're not one of, you know, those people that are like a chronic, like, clear the throat kind of person. It's almost like a bad, yes, they're one of these people. It's like a bad habit, right?
No. I was just doing it to, you know, make myself cough like that. When I was a kid, I got really good at making myself cough. So, like, my entire third grade, like, attendance was, like, half non-existent. I pretended to be sick so much that I got sent home and I got really good at pretending to make myself cough.
Oh, I see. That was your scam. That was your scam.
I was
back
sick
in the
a
day.
Lot in the third grade.
My little scam was kind of so my mom would, you know, use the old stick under the lip thermometer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that if I heated it up with a Bic lighter, right, I could make the thermometer get to a certain point. But I also knew I was smart enough to know if it went over 104. It's brain damage, so you don't want to do that because then you're going to get rushed to the hospital and they're going to be like, what the fuck,
right? Is this the mercury one, you know?
Right, yeah.
Oh, cool. Rectal
and so when I didn't want to go to school every once in a while, I'd tell my mom, I don't feel good. And my mom had a habit of sticking the thermometer in my mouth and then kind of walking out of the room.
So
I'd get the Bic lighter out and I'd heat it up to about 102. And then I'd go, look, Mom, it's 102.
See, I just wanted to have a little disclosure that Kevin lived with older brothers, and I'm like, why did you have a Bic lighter in the third grade by your bedside? But I just was letting you know.
He had candles, okay? He had candles in his room. Right.
Yeah, and
he listened to Kenny G.
If all else failed, we had a stove. You know, I'd just go to the stove.
So, yeah, I know I took this off topic and everything, but I had to bring up the cough.
No, that's fine.
This
is
a podcast. It's supposed to be raw, uncut, and just however the fuck it comes out.
Yeah, that's
There's
true.
There's no, it's unprofessional. No, who cares? That's what a podcast
it's
is.
It's our style.
They were designed to be raw and uncut, uncensored, and just, you know, a normal conversation between two people.
Even
or
flow.
Or three people, four people, five people, whatever.
Even flow.
It's called reality.
That's right. So let me talk about what's on the desk right now, because in a couple minutes we're going to have, we're going to call in.
2 minutes. You have a special call in.
Yeah, we have a special call. Well, actually, he's not calling in. We're calling him. We're calling him. But
we're moving forward.
Yeah, we're moving forward. But on the right of side of me, which is the right side, is my angel. And I feel like I'm a combination of light and dark.
Stage
and
so, right, you're left.
So I'm light and he's dark. And so I put the owl on the other side.
Whoa. Why am I the evil one?
Tonight. We'll switch it up next week. We can move it around. But for tonight,
I think there's been enough painting me as the evil one.
You're not evil. I'm just saying there's a little bit of dark sometimes.
Oh, the Illuminati owl over here. Okay.
Yeah.
The secret society.
That's right.
And you got the angel.
And
you know, my mom would have loved the angel.
Ironically, my mom gave me both of these. She gave me the angel and the owl. And so I thought it's really interesting that my mother loves to give me little statues and different little things. And then this right here is just a spot of color because I felt like we needed something in the middle of it, just
something
to kind of balance
other than
it out.
That Hellraiser colorful painting behind us, and then the colorful lights, and because we wear so much black,
we do. And I was trying to keep it regular black tonight versus having.
Oh, another thing, she straightened her hair, and she said that's due to the
topic.
Nature of the topics. So I'm guessing tonight's going to be more straightforward because her hair is straightened.
No, actually,
also a personality thing.
When I have straight hair.
Who's coming to the table tonight? Stephanie?
Shelly's here, okay? And Michelle Lee has curly hair, and it's all business, okay? When I have curly hair, it's the rocker side, and I'm really, when I go super natural, that means I'm all business. But when I have my straight hair, that means I'm just kind of taking it back a little bit. I'm going to be a little bit more
aloof,
kinder, a little bit softer.
Kev.
Hiding.
I heard kinder.
Hiding.
I got you back on that one, buddy.
I believe that when I see it.
Right. And I also just kind of wanted, I'm just in a melancholy mood, you know. My caller, you know, I'm going to introduce in just a second because, you know, we're going to be calling in 30 seconds. So let me give
somebody
some
wants to start
preamble. Yeah, go ahead and start calling him right now. My son Dylan is my oldest boy, and he was born in 1991 today, April 4th. And I just love him so much. He
did he by chance have a preemptive, like, he was going to pop out on the 1st and then said, nah, April Fools, you're going to wait for 3 more days?
He had 2 days of false labor, and there was a funny story about that. The day before, when I had the false labor day, whoop, here's the alarm, boop, he's going to call him in a minute. So we're going to get that going while I'm telling you. So my ex was working, so my mom took me to the hospital. And he was born in Carmichael, California. And, oh, wait, are you here?
Tuning in with you guys live.
I love it. So Dylan, let me introduce. This is Dylan Phillip. And Dylan, just real quick, I was telling the story about my 2 days of false labor having you born, and then we'll go into talking to you. Because Corey is like, hey, was there anything crazy about the labor? So here we are.
Well, I said, did you like act like you were coming out on April 1st and then say, no, April Fools, I'm going to put you through hell 2 more days?
He did. He put me through hell 2 more days. And so here we are. We're living at the time in Dixon, California. And I had the choice to have him born at Kaiser Vallejo or Kaiser in Sacramento, and it was Carmichael, and I thought, ooh, Carmichael sounds nice. I didn't want his birth certificate to say Vallejo. Later on, it was like it would have been okay, but so here we are.
It really worked out well for me, too, you know, like when we moved to Vacaville, and I was like this kid from Vacaville. I'm like, I'm from Sac.
Right? Sac City, you know, Sac Town.
Like I'm not from Cowtown.
Exactly. That's right. And so that was cool. And also, I liked the fact that, you know, it was right in between living in Dixon. So your dad was working on this first day of the false labor. So grandma drove us, and she was ridiculous. And back then, they didn't have navigators. And so she had to, like, I don't know if she had the map.
Not even a Lincoln Navigator?
Let's just keep this, like, subject matter on point. I went home in a baby bath, okay? Let's just skip to the point where I went home in a baby bath, okay?
Baby bathtub.
I've been an outlaw since day one. I don't wear seatbelts. I'm not in the car seat. I'm going home in a baby bath with style. Like, why don't y'all put some bubbles in here and make sure the temperature's right?
So Corey doesn't know his dad. You know, to highlight the thing, I wasn't even going to tell that story, but it's funny that you brought it up. His dad forgot the car seat, and it was mandatory that you put your child in a car seat, or the nurses don't let you leave the hospital with your child. And so that's why he was in a baby bathtub, strapped in, and I was like nervous. And so, but just really,
did the baby bath have water in it? Or?
No, okay. That's all he did. I don't even know. It wasn't even ours. He took it from somebody's house. It wasn't even mine. He was like, we're just going to grab this. You know, I don't know why he was mistaken. But you know what? At least he showed up. He tried. You know, I'm going to give him that always pay for effort. He always tried, okay? And so he never did not try. I mean, you know, so. But just to finish up what I was saying, Grandma didn't know how to get to Carmichael. And so she drove to Costco, which was right up the street from Carmichael at the time. And she literally drove her car into the entranceway of Costco, screaming, my daughter's having a baby. And just so happened that day there was an EMS there, and there was a fire department, and so she was so crazy that the chief of the person just happened to be there, got in the car and drove Grandma's Lincoln. She had a Lincoln, and drove us to the hospital, and it was false labor. And so then the rest was history. So Dylan, you know, we're so glad that you're here. And one of our topics tonight, you're going to start our show off, and then we're going to continue on with some other stuff, is, you know, 90s babies, you know. And I think it's really trending right now that we're trying to retro back, and I think that was one of your names back in the day as well.
He was 1991?
Yeah.
Okay.
The beginning of the 90s. And so you're the end cuff of the millennial, or in the middle? I believe.
I think he's still Generation X.
Nope, I'm millennial.
Oh, no, he's millennial, because I think it goes like 88 to whatever, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 89 to 99. Yeah. Yep. 89 to 99.
Yeah. I was 85, so I was last Gen X.
You're the last one? Okay. I think. So you know, with the way you were raised in, you know, you were born in Carmichael and then lived in Dixon for the first nine few months of your life, and then raised the first several years of your life in Fairfield, California. And you raised playing in the dirt, you know, running in the streets, you know, just all that kind of stuff. Can you just kind of speak to your childhood and how... I feel like you're trying to do the same kind of flavor for your children. I mean,
hey, can we say the most important thing real quick before
yes.
we do all this?
Sure.
Happy birthday, buddy. While you're talking about all this, let's say happy birthday to him.
Yep,
happy birthday, dude.
I mean, we could talk about my childhood, or we could talk about like what like 90s. Like kids really have got to experience, but I mean,
that's what I want to hear. Your take on your childhood versus the kids today.
We have like one of the most unique, you know, I mean, every generation can say like, look at all the transition we've gone through, you know, like, you know, we didn't have the Walkman like you guys did in 76. We had the, iPad or the iPod rather. You know, we had the first generation of iPod Touch, but I think what's most unique about our generation is the blend. You know, I grew up, we still had Simpsons, we still had Jetsons, we had Flintstones, and then we had some of the most like epic cartoons ever that still had real, I think, like real information. They used humor in cartoons in our generation that was really educational. And
you were the beginning of Power Rangers. Hello.
Well, I mean, more like on the lines of, like Rocket Power and, you know, Angry Beavers and,
right,
you know.
What about Not the Mama? Not the Mama, that baby dinosaur.
Dinosaurs?
Yeah, dinosaurs.
That's what it was.
We had Dragon Ball and Sailor Moon and, you know, like we had some, a lot of culture that's still relevant today, but I think there was a lot of substance still in 91. There was a lot of raw where
In 91, the biggest movies were The Terminator 2, Judgment Day, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, and Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, but no newborn in 91 is experiencing any of that, you know, like, realistically, when I was old enough to pay attention to content, like, you know, Bradley Nowell from Sublime just died, like, Tupac died, like, Biggie died, like, there's a lot of influential deaths that took, I mean, Kurt Cobain died, like, there's a lot of things that took place in my younger years and my age group that,
that's, you know,
is still really relevant in today's culture, so... I feel blessed to be one of those kids that knew how to just be like, in or out, okay? I got the AC on. What are you doing? You inside or you're outside? Because the next time you come in, I'm locking you out.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, I went through that, you know, too.
I didn't come from San Francisco.
I'm only
we
five
didn't
years
know what AC was. We're like, what the hell is that?
I'm only 5 years older than you. I still dealt with all that, too.
And you
that's what I'm saying is that, like, today's kids are worshipped, you know, and I still was part of that generation that had that kind of tougher end culture that you guys got to experience. It was just, you know, like, I would complain if my aunt was smoking cigarettes in the car and she'd roll the windows up like, oh, yeah, you got a problem with my cigarette smoking?
That's true. And Dylan, also me being such a young mom, you know, I was 22 years old and we're 22 years apart. And I think that... having the mom of my age and then having your dad just a few years older, I mean, we are learning to be appropriate relationship now, but, you know, I was a young mom. You were my only friend. I didn't have a lot of friends. It was you, my child, and my other, you know, mostly you that got the brunt of my, what am I going to do today, you know? And you'd be like, I don't know, you know? And I was raised, you were raised on Happy Meals and, you know, toys and trying to go to the dollar store when it first came out and, you know, taking you...
It was the 99-cent store then, okay?
Right. It was 98-cent store.
Was it?
98-cent store.
When did it turn?
Then it turned to the Dollar Tree, and that's when 99-cent store came out.
Oh.
And then now it's like the $1.59 store. So.
Right. It's like, they call it the Dollar General because it's like roughly in that ballpark, you know? Like, you might find something here for a dollar, like...
But you did deal with a lot of things at a young age. You know, you had your sister, you know, your sister passed away when you were 5 years old. You know, then my dad went, you know, so you dealt with death really young.
And then James went
on your, actually, it was Easter on your eighth, I want to say your eighth birthday. You actually were at the funeral because it was, it's very, you know, every so many years, Easter falls on your birthday. And like, it's coming up close to your birthday. Actually, he died around this time, you know, so this is because Easter is going to be Sunday. And so, yeah, that was a lot for a little person to deal with.
But, I mean, I feel like the 90s, like a lot of 90s, like eight kids that are, I mean, from Corey's age to 91, 92 is kind of pushing the threshold where we actually got to go to school and be reckless and not be filmed. And not be bullied on the internet. There wasn't social media. We had MySpace, but we had to take our ass home to go get on our dinosaur Dell desktop and like, and wait for like
AOL. Oh.
Some people still had dial up.
Right.
Yeah. So I think that was something that was really free. Teachers weren't on a state standard. They had to develop their own curriculum, the type of substance that we received in the curriculums was I think really impactful in our generation.
And you know cursive. Kids. You know cursive, and that's something that your daughter today, if you want her to learn cursive, you have to teach her that, right? She's not learning that.
I mean, the math is changing. Like, I don't know what core.
I can't even do it.
Common
I don't know.
Core.
Common core. Like, we just, like, keep it real. Like, my kid went through homeschool and we're like, yeah, we're not doing it. Like, and she still has one of the highest math rated scores for her age group right now, so I'm not sure what the relevancy of it is, unless it's like the preliminary phases of coding, I don't understand what its purpose is, but the real issue today is, like, the state is in control of your children. Here in Oregon, for example, they have a bill in act that states that if you, and I don't care how provocative this is, I hope you guys don't get canceled for my, for my,
Yeah, we don't give a shit about cancel
culture. No, actually, I love your, we want information.
What's going on here right now is there's a bill that's taking place where if you're a parent that doesn't course or accept your child's sexuality, right, or you don't accept the way that they identify as a human, whether that is a cat or an inanimate object or like a camera, they have what's called a safe home where they can be prepped, and the state and other people do not have to share with you where your children's whereabouts are. They can leave your home at 15 years old and go to a safe house to identify as whatever it is that they wish to identify as.
Wow.
So there's just like wild stuff going on, and I really am grateful for the time period that I was born in, because there's just, you know, there was a lot of just realistic information and data out there. The way that we were raised and the way that we were taught and grown up, I feel like it's one of the last generations, we're the last of the real, Corey.
I believe so. And also, Dylan, with you being, I was born in California and I was 22, and your father was born in New Hampshire, or some other state.
He's born in Iowa.
Iowa.
My grandparents lived in Minnesota at the time, St. Paul, I believe.
Yeah.
But my grandma was pregnant over the border.
That's right.
In Iowa.
Grandpa got an insurance discount or something.
And I think he was born in Des Moines.
He was. So, but my point is, because he was a few years older and you guys were, so you were raised with two different types of mentality of California and then, Midwestern
Midwest
country and corn and biscuits and gravy and potatoes, you know, and I made sure I added the other flavor of Hamburger Helper, Mountain Dew and Pringles, you know, I mean.
Mountain Dew. we were not drinking Mountain Dew.
No, I don't. Sunny D.
That was a Willie thing.
That was Willie Sunny D. But you know what I mean. It was the best of both worlds, and I feel like because of the way you were raised, you had some perspective on stuff, and I think that you have enough knowledge. You've taught me a lot as you started advancing at about 16, 17 years old with your knowledge of learning things and kind of maybe even a hybrid of above the times. You know, I know fast forward to, you know, Kevin as a stepfather, there were a lot of things that you started telling us about when we were like, what? Like, you were at the very beginning of Bitcoin when we thought that was whatever, and you were like just begging us, please, and we just didn't have the money. How much if we would have just come up with a couple $100, you know, it was like...
There was different time periods. Like, it was 50 a coin, it was 200, it was 400 a coin, you know, and it was just like, come on, you guys, just listen to me.
It was like 2010 or something like that, and you're like, come on, you know.
Probably more like 2014.
Okay, 2014, okay. But yeah, you were just always just kind of on a little bit extra hype, you know, and I appreciate that. I think now that you have extreme...
Well, let's be real. I was talking about the government back then. I was talking about Congress. I was talking about bankers. I was talking about the trilateral commissions. I was talking about some extracurricular shit, and you guys were like, Dylan, that's not what the news says, okay? Like, what kind of drugs are you on, okay? What are you smoking, honey? Because I need some of that, okay? Like,
well, also it was your deliverance, too. And I think now that there's always time, you know, now that it's about timing of the conversation, asking people where they're at, and then, you know, having informed information.
Yes, I mean, there was
emotional maturity
long enough to know that I can present a different perspective without attacking your belief, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then people will actually listen. You can bring people to the conversation versus, like, you know, just like when you first became a vegan and then you're like, Mom, I can't look at you because you're dying.
and then you helped me
understand about almond milk and all the different things, and I got
right.
You know, I jumped on the bandwagon, you know, and it's not a bad thing. It's
actually modified. You're like, what is a GMO, Dylan? Okay, like, I don't understand your acronyms. Like, right. What are you talking about?
Oh my gosh. And so back to like you, when we first did kind of like I called you up earlier, I said, hey, you want to call in? You said, yeah. And you know, you were seeing like dirt in the streets, you know, just like, you know, just walking around barefooted. And I was talking to our friend Stevie the other day, and he was actually, of course, he always sends me all this stuff, right? You know, from the aliens to the, you know, to his websites that he likes.
He was wearing his tinfoil hat.
He was, but he had some truth in here. He was talking about plastic and the type of tennis shoes that came out in the 70s and how it actually affected our joints and our inflammations in our body. And back in the day, people would not wear these type of shoes, and their feet were more just in the dirt, and you know, we didn't have the same inflammations because the government's poisoning us with everything. And
it's synthetic.
That's what he, you know, he was talking about plastic. The synthetic shoes, not plastic, and how it used to sweat into your body. And you know, do you understand? You know, it's like all you taught me about. I remember when Adeline, we wanted to buy her a pool, and you're like, Mom, you bought the wrong kind of pool. And I'm like, oh, my God, I gave you those plastic cups that you drank out of with the bowls, you know, with the straw attached, you know. It was like probably...
Yeah. Well, I think that's something that... So, like, there's not been a trustworthy bit of information. There's not been a trustworthy leader. If they're alive still, I question how trustworthy they are. You know, I'm like, oh, well, you know, I guess you don't know that. He was a good man until they kill him. Right. Or they suicide him. Right. So... I think what's going on is, like, I've grown up in a society where you don't believe none of what you hear and half of what you see, you know, and that's really become solidified, I think, for your guys' older generations now. You guys have started to catch wind that a lot of this stuff is, like, you understand what agenda is, you understand, like, that people are here to profit off of you, your dollar, your goyim, your human cattle, and your entire existence is to generate income for the elite and the wealthy. They've really spread the gap between the commoner and the elite at this point. And like people are starting to understand that, like, you know, what it takes to survive, you know, in this type of culture and society today. So
Everything's fast tracking. When I was at work the other day, we got an announcement that they just bought into this new company, and it's artificial intelligence. The very beginning got the contract with State of California, and they're going to hybrid just two exams to start, and we're not going to have people do these exams anymore. It's going to be you know, artificial intelligence, and it's just this, oh, it's fine, it's this, you know, you ask three questions, and if you do well, then the computer asks you another level, and then another level, and I say, well, eventually they'll just do my job, right? Oh, no, but, I mean, you know, and so it's happening.
The point that I was trying to make is, like, a healthy person isn't profitable, right? If you're healthy, then the hospitals and the pharmaceutical big pharma, you know, these private interest groups, they don't have any purpose for you. If you have skill sets where you can build and you can craft and you can design your own items, your own materials, then you're not profitable. So the bigger issue in the world today, if I could just intervene for a second, and something that I think that, like, from Corey's age to my age, and maybe, like, the 92, 93 babies have a perspective on more than anything is the understanding, just that we need to become more self-sustainable. Like, we do not own our time. The reason why we don't own our time is because we self-perpetuate debt. Everything is this huge monetary chase where, you know, you guys kind of grew up with the idea of, like, keeping up with the Joneses, like Kev and you, Mom.
Yeah.
Where, you know, what does that mean? That means that you're constantly chasing the material items to feel like you have some sort of status in today's culture. And more now than ever is status prevalent on the internet and social media. And I think there's a huge, you know, resistance against some of this materialized kind of lifestyle. We realize that in order for us to own our own time and to be able to grow our own food and build our own homes, we're not, you know, we have to live smaller, we have to live more sustainable, or else we will be working till we're 70, 75, 80 years old, and we may not even have anything at that time. If it's just a constant swap of, I'm going to lease this vehicle, and I'm going to have all of these new clothes to post, and I'm going to charge vacations on credit cards, and I'm going to live this lavish lifestyle and sell all of my peers and pressure all of my peers into feeling less than about their life because they're not living the kind of life I am. And that kind of perpetuating lifestyle, it takes from the next generation. So I think more than anything, 90s babies and even, you know, mid to late 80s babies are having an understanding of we don't inherit this planet from our parents. We borrow it from our children. So I think that is the kind of way that I've learned to, you know, be raised, and that's the kind of influence that I've had from the Grandma Roses, you know, and that it's okay to have less, and it's okay to be self-sustaining so that you can create generational wealth, and at some point you're not being fooled and being tricked for somebody else's profit. So I'm grateful for the age group that I was born in. I'm grateful for a lot of the influence from movies and television from that era, and the way that we just ultimately see the world. We have wonderful perspective, and we know the difference because we've experienced it. You know, I feel really bad for the kids that grew up and all they know is cell phones and social media and status and glorifying just false prophets.
You mean the younger ones that are coming into like a little bit younger than Jesse, because Jesse's going to be, you know, he's 28, so, you know, he'll be 20.
The Gen Zs and the Gen Xs, and or not the Gen Xs, but the Gen Alpha. Zs and...
Oh, yeah, they're Alpha now.
Yeah.
The next one's Alpha. But I did want to say, you know, to your point about that, you know, because my father died in 1999, and he was 59 years old, and he worked his entire life to retire. He thought he'd retire, and he ended up just dying. He did nothing. He literally did nothing. He just stayed in this little box. And then we got the other aspect where you got your grandpa, Bert, who lived this, I think he lived to the fullest. In a whole nother level, you know, from, I guess, his 8 children, you know. And then you got your father that's, you know, still, like, maybe retire next year. And then now we got Kev's just a couple years younger, and then here I am right here. And I hope to be smart, you know, and then, you know, I got what I got, right? I'm not going to, you know, I'm happy with my home and that kind of stuff. And now I'm going to be a little bit more efficient. And you are definitely one of my sons that are helping me be more aware and not afraid.
You guys are right on the cusp, though. Like, you're in between the boomers and the millennials and the Gen Xs. And it's like, I wish, like, I have these conversations sometimes, or I give these boomers looks sometimes, where boomers are like, why don't you just go get a job? And I'm like, just one?
Just one. Well, because Corey's self-employed, okay? Corey owns his own business, and he knows. He hustles scrap metal, okay?
I have a couple businesses.
Okay, sorry. He has a couple businesses, sorry. You know, but, I mean, he is one of these ones where he's not punching a time clock like, you know, working for corporate America. He's trying to be, you know, like you, Dylan.
I'm trying to establish a time clock for the new hires that we'll eventually have and grow as
a company. Trying to be the company, right, that has employees and, you know, be his own boss and stuff, and he's doing it, you know, he's not.
That's the American dream, and I think people are losing track of that for safety, you know, they're losing freedom for safety.
Right, you could have done, you worked in a building before, Corey, right, for the man, and you were miserable, right? Didn't you have to, like, talk on phones?
I worked in a building, and I worked on destroying buildings.
Okay. Now, there's an old saying, he who will give up freedom for safety deserves neither.
Who is that, George Carlin?
I don't know, it might have been Ronald Reagan, for all I know. Just saying.
But it could have been George Carlin.
Well, Ronald Reagan's famous thing was, the most terrifying words in the world are, we're from the government, and we're here to help you.
Right. Because they're not here to help you. So, Dylan, we're going to wrap it up a little bit because we got to get on to some, like, whatever else we're going to talk about. But I just, is there any shout-outs that you
It was Benjamin Franklin.
Oh, Corey looked it up. He's my little fun factor. He's over here looking on his phone, and also he's on a computer. You're not on the screen.
Oh, my God, do you hear about that stuff that's going on with Ben Franklin? They found recently, like,
no.
Not recently, but they found 12 different human skeletons in his living quarters when they went to go reestablish his...
Like his tomb?
It's like legitimately verified.
No, it was like house.
That could have been from a lot of Indians when Indians would get killed, they would just bury them anywhere. So
I didn't know that, Dylan.
Could have been, or he could have been sacrificing little kids, you know what I'm saying? Or he could have been, like, doing his own experiments. You don't know with these people. It's just really odd that to go into his home, you know, and found 12 dead people.
That's crazy. Dylan, would you, we've talked about it before, but since we finally officially have you on our podcast, because last time it was more of like a speaker thing and you really weren't drawn in, and I don't even think it actually came on the podcast, because it was like before we were figuring out how to turn the camera on and record and stuff.
Well, I think that I chimed in once. I called you guys while you were live, and I was like, hey, was that it?
Right, but it wasn't like through the speakers this way. And so could we have you like again on some, like, you know, where we actually have I'd love to talk to you about your knowledge of, you know, some of the political stuff, but also money and how you understand how the dollar is and the gold and the silver, you know, on a different topic sometime.
Oh, you mean like when Nixon abolished the gold standard and it's no longer worth anything but 2 cents of its original value? Sure, we could talk about how money's not real and how it's fiat and it only is worth what you believe it's worth. No problem.
Yes. Like I said, all it is yes. After the gold standard was gone is paper and ink.
So, because I think it's...
We can talk about the origin of the IOU and why they started to use paper notes. We could take it all the way back to Southeast Asia.
All I know is that steel is worth 8 or 10 cents a pound.
Yeah, because he's a...
Killing it. at least it's a resource, you know? So,
he is.
Yeah, we could talk about...
Clean aluminum rings is 90 cents.
That's what
we can go through a segment if you'd like to. I'd like to be back on you guys' podcast, and
guys
had some real dialogue for me to expand upon, or even like some interrogate me. I feel no pressure.
Oh, you don't want to be on a show where we just talk about fart jokes and you know dick jokes and just sit around and just.
Corey's been really good. He hasn't had anything foul tonight.
And crazy sound effects.
No, if you guys want to have a show that, you know, occasionally teaches people, I mean, if I were you and you're making fart jokes, I'd at least talk about, you know, the gastrointestinal system or something.
Oh,
like
my
that.
God, because you know what?
Or what Airwicks actually does work.
No, that's good. Actually, I would love to talk about food and all the different things that you are knowledgeable about. But yeah, so thanks for your, you know, being my first son. And it's 9:42. You probably got to work in the morning. Did you go? We're going to end with this. Did you go bowling tonight? What was your score?
Oh my God! Let me tell you, just being 32 years old, I wake up and I'm like, "Fuck! I should check my credit score. Like, what's going on with that? Yeah. Is that a gray hair? What the fuck? Oh, it's a blonde hair. We'll call it a blonde hair. Oh, it's a platinum blonde hair. That's what it is. You know, I'm like, "Fuck! Is that another wrinkle? How much sleep have I had this week?
Yeah.
My God! How many hours did I put in? Am I gonna have enough money this month? I guess it's a ramen kind of dinner night. But tonight is
National Ramen Day.
Was it? Oh, fun fact.
tonight was 2 hour Tuesday. They wanted us to wait 90 minutes. So I just decided to go home and take a back-to-back double shots, bullshit with the work crew around the island. And okay. Now I'm drinking Moscato.
Nice.
I'm
going
to make a couple phone calls. I feel the age.
Okay.
For all you kids who think that you're invincible out there, that think you're a fucking superhero, 32 is only halfway to feeling like an old fuck, and it still is uncomfortable. So,
I'm so glad you're on the podcast. Thanks for calling in, Dylan. I love you, and I hope to talk to you tomorrow, the next day. And I'm going to get back on the bandwagon. I'm going to walk tomorrow and be back on my journey because I've been failing. But I'm
we'll
restarting.
Talk about that next.
We're going to talk about that next, because that's actually our next topic of stuff. So I love you. Have a great night.
All Love you too. You guys have a nice evening.
Okay, bye. Happy
birthday, man.
Happy birthday.
Love you guys.
Bye. Bye. Okay, that was cool. And we'll be back in just one moment.
Whoa. Hang on. I do got... Oh, no, just... We're going. Just keep going. Keep going.
Podcaster recording in 3, 2, 1.
Okay. We just did an entire segment. Now, Shell's on her phone. She's distracted again. She found a picture in her own phone. I just noticed that we did the whole segment, and I just now noticed that the TV is level. When did the TV become level again?
I made the TV level.
I know, but when? Like, it was a crooked TV.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is when I mounted the mount, I used a level, but it didn't come out level.
Hmm. Was it a level made in Australia? So maybe it was supposed to go backwards?
It was probably made in China because I think it was Craftsman. So, ah. Yeah.
All right, Shell, phone away.
Okay.
We're going to talk about...
Quit looking at yourself.
I wasn't. I was.
You have a giant screen right in front of you.
No, what I was doing was I was thanking our last guest. Okay, we're back from having my son for the first time highlighted for his birthday. And we had my other son, William, here on a podcast. The only person we haven't had, Jesse, yet. So we'll have Jesse in the future because we had your daughter on before. And... you know, and then we will have other people in your life, you know. I'd love, if we ever do another mobile podcast, Corey, it would be worth breaking down all this for your grandma. I would love to do a mobile thing. And if we did that, we might as well hit my mom on the way, right? We'll just keep rolling,
well,
you know.
I don't know if she's on the way in Vacaville because
my mom lives in Lincoln.
Oh, okay. That's still...
Kind of
not on the way to Placerville.
No, but we could do Grandma. I would love to just pick her brain because she's still very cognitive and she's in her 80s, so that means she lived a wild life back in the 30s, right? She was in her heyday.
Well, I don't know 40s? How wild she would be, but okay. I don't know if I'd want to know how wild she was, but anyways, I want
to
go back.
The history. Okay,
bring it back,
back
to what you were talking about just before the little snippet there. That, you know, in the chaos.
Yeah.
And mainly because you haven't been walking.
Oh.
And how disruptive chaos can be to, and this also ties into the things I want to talk about tonight, the chaos disrupts your goal, your focus. You're trying to do these walks and talks with Shell and be this motivational, you know, on your journey of life.
Yeah.
And hopefully inspire other people. And when you're trying to take care of yourself, you're trying to be healthy and all these things, but then all this chaos comes into the equation.
And it's not always chaos.
Stevie, hey buddy, love you, pal, but you're
okay. So Stevie and
I mean, but it was family.
Or distraction.
There was a lot of stuff.
My girlfriend Margie came in and she had some Margie had chaos in her life, and I wanted to help her because I love her.
And that kind of spilled into your life.
It spilled into mine because it stopped me from my goal of just like, okay, I had these little things, you know, and then for me. I've always been all or nothing, and I've really I'm striving to be able to roll with the punches. Because you know, when somebody that like me, that's a survivor of trauma, lived with mental illness my whole life, I have these core personality traits where I'm either doing everything or I'm doing nothing. And there's very little gray area. And, you know, I'm either at the top of my mark. We talked earlier, like, different hairstyles, okay? When I wear my hair straight, usually it's because I'm feeling insecure. And I feel like if my hair's straight, it'll make my head smaller for whatever reason because I have a big head. And when I have my hair big, that means I'm, you know, I'm coming in like this big presence, you know? And so it's this weird kind of thing. If I have... if I look really good for me and like if my makeup's perfect and everything's just put together, that means I'm really hurting inside because I'm overcompensating for something. You know, if I have my natural curly hair and I'm just like whatever, comfortable in my sweatpants, I'm just like, fuck it. I'm just being me, you know, and you're going to love it or leave it, baby, because you're getting hardcore me and I don't give a fuck. Okay. And I'm fighting till the end. But when I'm all like sleeked back, then that means I'm like, okay, I'm going to have a little bit more controlled chaos. But for me with this break in the chain, I really was. I did my 30 days because I'm a quitter at 14 normally. It takes 14 days to change
that pattern. But then you started doing your 100.
And so I accomplished the 30, and then I got into the 100, and I'm actually 61 days today into my 100-day challenge. It ends May 10th.
Did you walk today, though?
I did not walk. And
I know there was a couple other days you didn't walk.
I haven't walked since Stevie was here. I've walked officially, okay? I've obviously had steps because I've had busy days. Last weekend I had a busy day.
That's nothing to go against Stevie, okay? Because, I mean, he's family. There was some stuff going on. He was here.
You walked with Stevie twice.
I did, but I'm saying when it's official.
But it wasn't like her normal walks and talks on the camera the whole time.
And also making a commitment. I started from the beginning where at my lunch I get a 15-minute break, and I used to say that would be two rounds around the block. Mm-hmm. I would literally walk for 12 minutes, get back here, get back on the phones, do the thing. On my next 30-minute break, I'd walk for 15 minutes, and then I would eat my little lunch in between calls, and then on my second 15-minute, I would do stretches, and I was on it, you know, and at nighttime I was doing my thing, and I was prepping, and I had all my stuff. It was constantly rolling and going and going, and I was feeling really good, and I was starting to see results. And, you know, I had my garage set up, and then, you know, my garage area is now not my area anymore. It's back to a storage center, and I was like, okay, that's fine. And I just started to just go, okay, well, I didn't do this one thing, and then I didn't do this one thing. And next thing you know, Corey, I'm not doing anything, you know? I mean, I brush my teeth at night, you know?
It's just, you know, like, okay, before December, like, I had my goals. Like, I knew, like, in my mindset of what was going on in my life. Like, I knew I wanted certain things to change and everything, and I started working towards that change.
Yep.
Started working towards, you know, more of what I want in life.
And business and housing, your credit.
All this stuff, yes. And then January 1st came, and, like, something that I thought I lost before came back into my life.
Right.
And it was the most precious thing to me, and because out of... Okay, I've dealt with trauma, I've dealt with loss. Some people don't know that I constantly deal with, you know, depression and anxiety and, you know, thoughts of suicide, and I see a therapist, and, you know, like, literally, you know, this thing came back into my life that I, you know, thought I lost, that I technically lost twice, and... It, like, totally just jump-started me to make me work even harder, push stronger, like, you know, to accomplish my goals and everything. And, you know, it's been, like, 3 weeks now, and it kind of feels like, you know, there's, like, a hold on it. There's a pause button going on. And it really kind of has disrupted me in my chaos and stuff going on. And now it's, like, kind of, you know, I started... gun-ho working on my house and remodeling and getting things to sort through and clean up and everything. And, you know, yes, last weekend, you know, I did cut the lawns and work on the yard and do some stuff around the yard and everything, but I really haven't been working as hard as I did, like, a month ago. Like, when I first got in, you know, to the house and started working
on it. So, you know, can I ask you a question on this one here? Do you feel like that was your motivation before, and you know, and now you don't have a motivation? Because I feel like you should be the motivation, no matter what you felt like.
No,
you're doing more things for that particular goal.
I think it's just the fact that right now the depression's stronger.
Okay.
Like, ultimately, I know the thing that came back into my life was a solid proof that what was established was true. Like, I didn't know before. Like, 2 years later, so all of a sudden, back in my life, and obviously what I thought was real was real.
Okay.
And the fact that I was chosen in that aspect, it just means it's even more rewarding in the fact that I was the choice.
Okay.
You know, not necessarily like something that began from the beginning.
But now that you know that that was real and that's been so solidified.
The last week, I've been working on my writing again.
Good.
I'm joining a gym. I'm getting back into the gym, working out. I'm getting my schedule even more patterned down on days organized for doing, like, let's say this show on a Tuesday night, maybe more regularly. I got it on my laptop, too.
Do you?
Yes. Okay. Well, we can talk about that in a minute. But, you know, focusing on trying to get myself back into my goal phase, which is you know, hustling and getting everything taken care of like I said I was going to, because, yes, it's not like that was the only purpose for getting into that groove and everything.
I think that just jump-started you.
It threw Doc Brown through that magical fire log in the train, okay, to jump it up to 88 miles an hour to go back in time or to the future, okay?
Yeah.
Like, you know, that was that presto log that just, like, poof, blew up, you know?
Yep.
And for people that don't know, that was a Back to the Future 3 reference, okay?
Google it.
You know, it's just hard because patience is not one of my finest values or best friends. I've always been, you know, kind of like, okay, I want this now. You know, I can we do this now? Let's do this now. Let's do it. Now I was patient for like 2 years, and right now I just got to be patient because everything that's going on right now, yes, you know, I know what I want out of it, but it doesn't pertain to my life. It's somebody else's choice. It's what they have to decide and what they have to realize when enough is enough. And are we still good? Because that kind of sounded a little bit...
No, I think you sound good.
Okay, all right. I don't know.
Kevin's asleep back there. I'm not sure what he's doing. He's like,
everything's fine.
I don't know. I felt like a small dropout or something in my headphones, maybe. I don't know. Anyways, so... Where was it?
Well, I can tell you my perspective on this, okay? I feel like, and I want you to listen to me for a second, okay? I've been watching this whole process, and I'm a third party and kind of like a on the fence, like watching both things. I don't know as much information on the other topic, but I know you. And I know that it was something that you desired and wanted and dreamed about and prayed about, and you got that gift in that season. And I feel like the box was checked. Maybe you didn't get enough time in your mind because it was just starting to get like, wow, this is really exciting. But I feel like sometimes God puts a little stop to things for different growth periods, and that was a season. And I feel that you now are the season to, sometimes we have to separate ourselves from that because it was a lot of busyness, you know. And now you have this opportunity to spend 100% of your time focus on your home, and you have a lot of other tasks in your home that we have to get situated, right?
Yeah,
and
I say there's a lot of things, and it's
I mean
not,
your family, you know.
And it's not just necessarily my household, it's my companies.
Yeah.
It's you know,
mind,
distorting back
spirit.
On track where it was.
Yeah, and I got to reflect with, back with Jack, you know, and just
and
I know you've been working
with
him.
Hellraiser and
yeah.
Everything going on there.
There's
and
a lot of aspects.
There's a lot on my plate.
There and is. And you're human.
I've been compartmentalizing everything and trying to give a, you know, spread myself too thin, as opposed to now I'm more focusing on my schedule routine.
Yep.
And as soon as I stick to that, then I know I can give, you know, a certain amount of energy towards each thing I need to give my energy out to within its time frame that I have allotted for it.
And you're not panicking anymore as far as each person has their own little challenges right now, right? You're not living where you used to live last year, okay?
No.
And I think you're more settled, okay? We do need to go and take care of a couple, like, unpacking of stuff, and I think you're getting closer to being ready for that. And also, we're getting close to the anniversary of Mama, okay? May's coming up, right? You know, and there's seasons of that, and we got Grandma that's been doing some stuff, and you're going to see her. And I think that
tomorrow is her birthday.
Tomorrow's her birthday.
Happy birthday, Grandma.
Happy birthday. And, you know, I hope that you do, like, maybe just put her on a live video or something like that and share some little moments with her. Bring our pocket recorder if you want to, because we'll see you next week. You can borrow it and bring it and just interview her. You know, maybe we can have her audio.
I'll be going up there on Sunday also for her birthday. I mean, for Easter.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
Okay.
So
we might be in Concord. So what will you do for, just kind of sidetrack and let's talk about Grandma for a second.
She's doing a ham.
Okay,
she's,
ham, scallop, potatoes.
I don't know.
What are you bringing? Ham. Are you going to bring rolls?
I'll bring something.
Dessert.
I'll bring stuff. Carrot cake. It's Easter.
Oh, carrot cake for Easter. I was going to say Cadbury eggs. Will you give her a basket? Now, Corey dressed up, if any of you guys remember, because we did do a podcast when he had his beard. Will you be a bunny for her or something?
No. Santa, that's the only cosplay I'll do in December, okay?
I think it would be so funny if you showed up as a bunny for her. She would just laugh.
But back to what we were talking about.
Okay.
Okay, the chaos.
Yeah.
Okay, chaos is always going to happen.
Yes.
Chaos is going to disrupt what we really want. But fighting for it and fighting through the chaos is what makes it more rewarding. And you getting back onto your track is what needs to be done for you, and I'm working on getting onto my track for myself.
And being accountable to each other, because when we first started this out, when I started my first 30-day, I'm going to tell you, Corey was like, whatever, you do you, boo. I want nothing to do with it. And then within a couple weeks, he's like, you know, I don't know, maybe I'll stretch one day, you know, and then he's like, I might do something,
I'm going to go get a gym membership. I want to start working out.
And I think you've been drinking less soda. There's certain things that you've, you know, hey, I was addicted to soda back in the day. I drank a 2-liter bottle a day. And it was like, you know, and I needed that bottle every day. And this was like, I want to say 2001 to 2003.
7-Up or ginger ale. That's the only soda I will drink right now.
I was drinking Coca-Cola, you know, and that was what I had to have every day, and pop, big old bowl of popcorn at night.
It's only like at dinners or something, you know, not like all throughout the day.
So you don't find yourself on one of your stops in between running into 7-Eleven and get the big gulp, you know, your own cup and everything.
I have a Powerade or water, you know, I drink other things. Just like if I'm eating a meal, then maybe I'll have like, you know, a Sprite or something, but.
Okay.
Well, society helps with that because if you go to the local gas station here, for 99 cents, you can get an RC Cola.
Right.
But for 99 cents, you can also get a 2-liter RC Cola.
Crazy.
So it's ridiculous if you really think about it. It's like, okay, so I noticed that if I buy that 99-cent 2-liter RC, I drink more than if I just bought the 99-cent 16-ounce bottle or whatever, right? So I don't buy the 2 liters no more. And then also I noticed that if you don't drink them, you just dump it out and they go bad.
Is that how you control it?
You just dump it out.
Yeah,
well, you let it go flat.
I guess, and you could look at it that way, but why waste it? I mean, even though it is garbage.
So Kevin,
drink the small cup, and then that way you're done with it at that setting, and then you don't have more to go back to drink out of it later. You might switch up the water.
Right, or I won't have it for the next day.
You know?
And then after the third day, it's no good. It's flat.
I don't know. The main thing I got to really worry about is my stress and everything. So it's more like I'm a fat kid. Y'all know this. You see this. I love my sweets.
Yeah.
All right.
And I want you to be healthy, Corey. And I think that, you know, sometimes we have to have other reasons besides ourselves.
Oh, no. You give me a stress test right now, my heart's going to be like off the chain. Like my blood pressure is probably going to be like uncontrollably
high. Well,
I'm
going to take his blood pressure when we leave because I have when we get off.
No, we don't need to do this. I had other friends that were like obsessed with like health crap. And they're like, oh, you need to do your blood pressure. I want to know what you are. Oh, my gosh, you're so high.
So I had high blood pressure recently, and then when my Jesse came over, it actually lowered my blood pressure. And so I think that there's other different tricks.
All I know is a couple of years ago when I was doing demo, my blood pressure was so high that I had to have it drop before I can get cleared to go back to work.
Wow.
And so like I was on a nothing but oatmeal diet.
So high, like 160 over 85, 90 kind of high?
Whatever that shit means. Yeah, okay. Sure.
All right. So
I don't understand the two numbers. I don't know.
You don't want the bottom number to be super high. Okay, that's not good. You want it to be in the 70 or 80. But we'll do a health segment sometime when we do our drug test, because at this point,
Kevin, hey, I tell you what, let me know when you can throw 500 freaking rotors into a thing, you know.
I probably can't. But you know, as far as being on track today, I have 155 days off cannabis, and I'm not at the weight that I wanted to be. When I started this journey, I got COVID and I lost 17 pounds. And I was like at about, you know, I started talking about my weight. So I was weighing about 172 and I got down to about 170. I never hit the mark under 170. So right now I weighed in today about 176. And so I've been maintaining, but you know, I went up actually as far as a couple weeks ago, I went to 181 and I almost died again. I was like, oh, cause my peak top was 187. And I never talk about weight, you know, for me, because women are like, oh, it's such a stigma, you know. When I met Kevin, I was 139 pounds, and I was way too thin probably for my perspective. I mean, I was doing my thing, you know. I'm comfortable about 150, 160. That's a goal. And so, but then that might even be too thin, you know, for me now if I'm at this weight. So, but my point is, it's like about health and being healthy for me. And, I just need to get back on my track. And so that's what I'm doing. And so, and stop justifying it and stop telling myself all these different excuses. It's really hard to walk outside when it's cold and I broke a routine. And so Corey and I are both going to be accountability to each other, and not just for physical, but also checking in. Like he calls me every once in a while. I'll check in. I'm like, how are you doing? And I have some other friends that I do this. And if I ever do this, know that it's not, I'm not worried about you going to hell, but I'll say, how's your soul? It's because we went to this one thing.
I got rid of that a long time ago.
Okay, right.
I sold that to a guy. Okay, he had a red suit on.
His name is Satan.
But no, but that's no.
Of course, I never got what I fucking wanted, you asshole.
It's not.
I still can't play the fiddle.
Well, then the soul is not sold.
Oh, okay. I got it back. Okay, so, can I resell it again?
But what I'm talking about is your, when I say how's your soul, like how are you feeling inside? Are you feeling lost? Well, are you feeling agitated?
I think a lot of it, you know, is within the depression and the anxiety, yeah, and the sadness and everything, is the fact that with everything going on with the issue at hand, is the fact that it's not necessarily, like, I figured stuff would be going on, right? But I figured it would be targeted towards me.
Right.
At me. Not somebody else. And for that person to have to be the one that's targeted, like, first off, ethically, if you think about it as a parental, like, if you were to fucking do that to your own kid, you're a piece of fucking shit. Like to single out and go after another person as opposed to the person that you actually have an issue with for some goddamn reason, whatever that is, you know, to actually go after your offspring, you know, it is just, to me, the craziest, most fucked up shit ever. Like, I never would have thought, like, they would have been the target to be blacklisted by threats of blacklisting, threats of banishment. I mean, like, really? Send somebody, like, just sending somebody to fucking Mexico. Literally just talked about a story, like, within the last month about, like, 6-7 people getting kidnapped and, like, 3 of them killed or some crap, right? You know? Like, that's a better idea. Let's just send somebody to the worst place where people can end up getting killed.
I think what happens is that people live in fear and then they don't think it through. I'm not going to tell on one of my kids' stories, but one of my sons was sent away for a period of time, and it was because
of something you didn't agree with?
Yeah, and because they didn't want him around me, so therefore let's send him away from the problem. And really, it was just fear of, it was just anger, and it was like, there was going to be a payback involved. And years later, what happened was, is that it was just a phase where if we could have just communicated better and not lived in fear, like, you hurt me, so I'm going to hurt you kind of mentality. And so, and then the kid's the one that's going to suffer. So it's like two adults saying, I'm mad at you, and we're going to just take the kid away instead of the adults just being grown-ups about it. And I think that's what's going on in this situation where...
This is why some people, you know, shouldn't have kids, though. Like, if you're going to act like a fucking child...
The adult.
No, you don't always start off that way. You can't say you shouldn't have kids because sometimes we just act out in seasons of bad because we're uneducated. And we also parent from what we know. And, you know, it's like we don't know if these people acting out, who raised them and who poured it. And I'm not giving them excuses. I'm saying, who are their people that taught them, you know? And we parent from what we know. And so you
try
to do
better.
Well,
now I wish I knew Doc Brown, because I'd like to go back in time and talk to them parents when they're still kids and be like, you fucked up and need to do a better job this time around. So do this different.
And you're going to be a parent someday, Corey, you know, from birth on the way up, you know, and if from the...
I was going to say, in some aspects, I am a parent now.
You are. You're parenting, you know.
I'm still not an expert at it, but I'm still trying to fucking do my goddamn best.
There's no such thing as a parent that's an expert at it. As long as you're going to be a parent, you're going to learn.
But I think as a parent, I think the main goal is to have, you know, to love your kid unconditional no matter what they choose and support them. I mean, obviously, if they're a serial killer, then, you know, obviously be like, oh, well, okay. There's some bad apples out there. That's just, I couldn't change that.
If that's the case, you just support them.
But you still love them, and you make sure you put some money on their books.
But remember when Dylan was talking earlier about our generation, Kevin and I's generation, where we're keeping up with the Joneses, right? My mom parented from keeping up with the Joneses, and she did not listen to her inner voice on, this is how I'm going to raise my children, and it's okay, and I believe this. She listened to everybody else saying, oh, well, I wouldn't have done it that way. And my mother never had the self-esteem to say, well, that's how I do it. And this is what I'm doing. And so she taught me how to be that way. And I was that way many, many years. It wasn't until I was in my late 30s, early 40s that I even have a voice to defend myself. And now
the main thing that irritates me the most is that parents don't teach, especially certain parents that don't teach their kids that they have a voice. Like, it's up to the parent to make sure that their kid knows that, hey, something happens to you, speak up about it, talk about it, like, bring it to light. Don't hide it. Don't be ashamed of it. You know, like, not giving them the empowerment to come out and talk to them about something, but also to come out and say, hey, I really don't want to do that. Regardless if it's like, oh, I don't want to go to Edna's because it's going to be boring over there and smell like mothballs or something. You know, right. like, yeah, okay, all kids are going to end up saying that. But to, like, condition them to where no matter what, this is how what I'm saying is going to happen, so this is what's going to happen, you know, because I don't like what you want to bring to the table, and just have them let down. Or if they say, oh, I really want to go with my friends to do this, and then, oh, yeah, sure, we can talk about it when the time comes and go through it, and oh, I'll take you out or whatever and take you there, and then, like, all of a sudden you just bail on them and say, nah, I really don't want to do that because I don't want you to go. It's like, you know.
Well, it's having, now you don't have faith in that, you know. Did we read this last time? What it takes to stand up and speak, courage, what it takes to sit down and listen. And I think if we listened more, you know, with our children, and not just our children, just our adult children too, because it stems on just listening and communicating, because I think that's a core value that we either learn or we learn later on in life.
You can't learn if your mouth's open.
And if you're also just psychotic and demented, you can't learn either. I mean, a parent that's going to sabotage their child, like, to like, literally, like, a childish way of, like, let's just say, hypothetically here, you know, letting air out of somebody's tires so they can't go to a job interview because you don't want them to take that job. Like, to let the air out of both front tires. And then you're stupid enough to get caught on a security camera of a relative's house next door.
And then lie and say you didn't do it.
And then say, oh, I'll be the hero and fix your tires later. And then 5 hours later, still not do it because there's still enough time of the day that they could still go to the interview and do it. I'm just saying you're a real piece of fucking shit.
Right. So that happened.
Hypothetically, that happened.
So I think what we learn from that is we be the example, okay? And sometimes that example takes a long time, and I think that's what you're in right now.
So much strength to not just go off the handle, to not just
and be
go
patient.
Beat the shit out of somebody.
You got to be patient though, because we're not in control of the time frame and the time zone, and we don't know where this journey is going to be, you know. So I don't know. So you know, with kind of like wrapping up this kind of deep dark topic, you've been writing lately. Did you want to share your writing tonight with us when closing at all?
I mean, yeah, I could. I know, Kev, you did the little marker there, but it might just be a couple minutes, just a little over, then I promise we'll be done. But my main thing is, yes, no matter what, as a parent, I'll always be here. Yeah. I will always support. I will always love unconditional. I will always do whatever I can within my power to help provide, to help connect, to help establish something of never really needing a want. Or, I mean, never really needing a need. You know, like, if I have an opportunity to be able to give it or connect you to it or put it out there so that way it's something that's being sought after, it's just tangible right there, then I'm going to do it. I mean, I've spent so many years of my life building my friends list, my Rolodex, my connections with music, with, you know, venues, bands, people in the music scene, record labels.
And if you promoters. Can't be there emotionally in a moment of time, then you could just also offer somebody else to help, right?
Yeah,
you know, because you're not a fucking robot, Corey. There's going to be times where you're, you know, as a mom, for me, I'm not always available to my children, you know, and that's because I have to take care of me. And when you get to the point where you're, because you're kind of like a parent of a teenager right now, right? And so when you get into the next phase, it gets really busy, and then there's other aspects and more things going on, and then you got one, and then maybe you got two in the future, you know, and then you're like, wait a minute, you know?
It just pisses me off when people are, you know, accuse somebody of trying to play a hero, and it's like, no, I bust my fucking ass to be able to have a company that I can offer somebody a job. If it's a friend out there that I know, a friend of a friend, or if I can help out just somebody that I just met,
yeah,
and I have an opportunity, hey, I have a job open, you need a job, hey, I'll hook you up.
Even if it's just for a couple days.
Even if it's a good friend of mine saying, hey, I need, you know, they need a couple $100 if something's going on or whatever. But because of this company, you know, I'm making more money than I've ever had. I can facilitate that. Be like, here, take it. Use whatever. You know, the fact that I bust my ass in, you know, our community to be able to meet a lot of people that can bring opportunities for other people and connect people and help people in the community, like with the Bag of Life for the Fragile Toy Drive, which the Bag of Life, we have some news coming up for the next show. I have some drop-off locations and some fun event stuff that we're going to be doing. Then I'm going to do it. Like, yeah. It's just do it. Here, take it. Here's my phone. Here's my Rolodex, whatever. Here's who can help you with that if I can't do that. But it to just say, oh, I'm just playing a hero or whatever, like, you're stupid, okay? Because the whole point of me getting myself to the next level is so that I can provide for my friends,
right,
for my family, for the people I care about, and, you know, anything I can.
Well, but I think you have some challenges to, do you believe in praying for your enemy?
I mean, I've never wished ill upon, I mean, other than wanting to really punch the one person in the face.
Right. So that's why.
Actions,
so that's why.
I'm not really, like, actually so, vindictive
so
about.
So in my belief system, when I'm healthy thinking, okay, and I've got some hardcore people that F me over. And so what I say is universe, and I pray to God, and I say give them everything that I wanted in life. And that means courage and strength and empathy and forgiveness. And I think that if
you're forgiven a lot of them.
And so I think for this new situation, we're just hoping that emotional maturity comes upon them, because that'll be effective for everybody.
I think
because
there'll be a lot of hope.
You know what? But you know what? Maybe it will. So we need to shift that energy over to them, because ultimately,
stop with the negativity, and stop putting it in the universe. I know I have a lot of.
So we're
it's
gonna.
It's
new though. It's new. You're processing. This is what we're doing. We're not.
And with depression, it really, really sucks because
you're internalizing some of that too. I worry about you.
You know, like a loss again in my mind. And the trauma of all the loss I've had in the last 3 years is, to me, tremendous. And to feel like I've gained something back that I thought I lost, to kind of feel like I'm losing it again.
Right. That's what I want you to recognize. That's tonight when you go home, you know, but you're staying here tonight. Okay. So when you go to the room next door, I want you to do a positive list of the things, because you haven't lost anything. You do have homework, because this is a season right now. In the season, this person came back in your life and she's still there. Okay.
Yes.
And that's a fact, Jack. Okay. But it's
and
not,
no matter what, I'll always,
and it's not your timing though. See, the thing is the thing about, I wanted things a certain way too. And I don't want my son to be in Portland, Oregon, okay? Where I have to now take an airplane or drive 10 hours to see him, okay? I want to be able to bring him a cake, right? You know, I wanted my kids to be whole and I could cry. I want my other children in Vacaville to be loving each other. I want my son William to get out of his room, you know, and just breathe oxygen and love and appreciate that he is a beautiful person, but he doesn't see it. He just lives in this afraid world. And so I just have to say, okay, I know this is just a season, right? And we were joking earlier, you know, about Corey's like, you know, it's like, oh, can I be old enough? You know, it's like parents and moms and aunties and family. And I always say that he's the kid I was supposed to have when I was a teenager. Because, you know, if you heard any of these earlier ones, you know, I was pregnant when I was 14 years old, you know, and the timing of that would be I'd have a 37-year-old, you know. And I look at Corey as this older mentor you got to talk to my son today, you know, one of the older ones, and I just love you, and I just telling you that it's a season, and that all these things that you're not wasting your energy, the things that you poured into this family and this person is not wasted, okay? And
well,
the fruits
it's not
of it
wasted.
I just want you to know that it's gonna happen, right? It's just not right now, not in your thing, because you still got shit to do. You got
your
home.
I have a lot on my plate to
finish up. And maybe that was too much of a focus. And so now when you get perspective, because your energy right now needs to be to grandma, right? In your business. Maybe necessarily that. And that would have been one more thing.
Regardless of how it goes towards everything I'm doing right now, yes, it is for me, but it is still also for everyone else in my life.
Of course, we're all going to benefit, right? So, I'm still waiting to come over to your house, you know, and get all into that, generation. But listen, let's read that thing, because you know what? I want to read, you know, there's things that I have so many writings as well, and I'm going to share some of my writings with you guys someday. You know, I'm going to.
Just for the record, there's only a few things, you know, I've only shared stuff that I've written with, you know, a few people in my life. I actually don't tell a lot of people that I actually work on writing and do things.
I feel honored. I feel like I'm forcing him to do it, but I feel
you are forcing me.
But it's important. I feel like it's important.
Even
that
though this is like kind of dark, but okay.
I want you to share it, because I don't know if there's somebody out there actually listening to our podcast, and maybe they could feel inspired. And so I'd like to end our podcast tonight with some writings of Corey in the last week that he's written in.
The last two nights. Like, I mostly did it last night, but I kind of started with, like, the concepts the night before.
All right, so let's do it.
I mean, it's not like...
I can read it for you, or you can read it. It's up to you.
Oh, now that's an option?
Yeah.
Fuck it. You put that on the table.
I'll read it from my phone, or is there a longer version?
No, it's just I just blew it up bigger so you can see it better.
Okay, there we go. I'm going to read it for Corey, and then that's easier. When darkness shrouds my world in black, and I am lost in my own lack of joy, of hope, of light, and love, I feel like soaring high above. But in the depths of my despair, I find the strength to fight and dare, to take a step, to move ahead, to find the light where I was led. With every breath In every beat of your heart, I find the courage to defeat the demons that seek to destroy my soul, my heart, my inner joy. I rise above the stormy skies and look beyond the clouds that rise to find the sun that shines so bright and fills my soul with such pure delight. And through the road is, and though the road is long and steep, I find the strength to never weep, to keep on moving forward, to keep on trying, to never give up, and to keep on flying. For life is precious, full of wonder, and I will never go under, for I have found the strength within to never let depression win. So if you feel the weight of the world crushing down, just look within, and you'll regain the courage to fight, the strength to rise, and find the light that never dies. Okay, that is so beautiful, Corey. And this first time I read it all the way through like that, you know, so I messed up a little bit, but you know what, I think that you, and I like the lighting on my face on that, actually. That was really nice, okay? Just
making... You're welcome.
No, that was like from his computer. I feel like the light really, we need to work on that. But Corey, that is...
Shitty, I know. I suck at writing.
No, that was really special. And I feel like if, Stevie, if you're listening to this, because I don't know if you've gotten through an entire podcast this long, that's a painting. I was visualizing. I'm going to have to read that again. I'm gonna absorb that because that is... James Jameson, I know you follow us. That's a song right there. Can you work on that? Okay, I feel like that is a song. All right, just like the River's Edge. That's powerful, Corey. Okay, and don't try to like minimize and be funny about it. That was
one thing
really
about
cool. This
is so like I'm a huge Superman fan. I have a Superman tattoo, and. I was going through my mom's stuff and, you know, I found some birthday cards of hers that she gave me and, you know, kind of lost it. But going through another box of stuff, I found one of these gel bracelets and it actually says on there strong as steel. And it's a teal color, which is my favorite color. And it was my mom's and, you know.
Did you give it to her or you just found it randomly?
No, I just found it randomly.
Okay.
And, you know, I think maybe, you know, it's just something that
she's talking to
that
you.
I need to, you know, stay strong.
You do need to stay strong. All right. And we need to stay strong. And with that, Producer Kev, we're going to see you guys next time.